Welcome to Truth Unbound. I'm Walter Swaim. I'm really glad you're here with me. Our world is in flux right now as I speak because of the situation going on in Ukraine with the Russian invasion there. And that's what's bringing up our topic this morning, in fact. Just a couple of days ago, on February 21st, 2022, Russian President Putin made a full speech justifying his official recognition of two pro-Russian regions of Ukraine, using historical precedent and his declaration as the basis for his military actions. So with this heightened political and military takeover of parts of Ukraine, those questions arise again. Is Russia's invasion of Ukraine fitting in the frame of Bible prophecy? And if not, then what place does Russia, and for that matter, Ukraine, have even in world prophecy? Well, we're going to go straight to God's Word to find the answers, as always. And we're going to do that right now. Again, I'm so glad you're here with me today. I'm Walter Swaim, and this is Truth Unbound, the podcast that applies scriptural, biblical truth to the situations in the world, the church, and issues in the culture and life. And so to continue getting God's answers to the issues, and also including others in the Truth Unbound family, then I encourage you to like this video, follow, subscribe, clicking on all notifications on YouTube, and share it with everyone you can as well. Well, I know you're ready for this, so let's get to it right away. Well, now we're going to get to the conversation with the Bible open and a simple, direct view of what God says. And this time, it's about the crossover over what is happening in Russia and the Ukraine and Bible prophecy. Does this conflict fit in some way? If it doesn't, then what does it tell us, if anything, about the role of Russia, Ukraine, and other factors in world prophecy? So as most of us have seen and heard these last several weeks, Russia has been gathering troops and equipment to what is said to be an invasion of Russia into the Ukraine, and now it has happened. It is a sovereign nation of its own with ties to the West, and Russia has invaded. Now, Russia says it is not going to let Ukraine join the NATO alliance, and with some regions of the Ukraine being majority pro-Russia, it has created a tense and sensitive situation with a potential major negative impact. In fact, there already is some negative impact on the world's economies, safety, and the loss of life and exponential suffering and even refugee movements that can result from this in that region. In other words, it's a major mess, and no one seems to know how to handle it right. But looking at this from the long-range view, for those who remember their Bible prophecy especially, if and when Russia makes a major move, it always sends up waving, warning, red flags. So why does Russia mean anything in Bible prophecy? In the Old Testament books of the prophets, ancient nations had ancient names, and now we know most of their modern names today, or where they are at in general, and the cultures connected to them today. Thanks to archaeological discovery over the many years, historical record throughout the millennia, and the long-standing local traditions and knowledge of today that agree with the findings of then. So let's see a few of those by seeing the main Bible verses in Ezekiel 38 that mention them. In Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 11 through 16, God's word says this: "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarma, from the far north and all its troops. Many people are with you." And then later he says in verses 11 through 16, "You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely. all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against a people gathered from the nations, who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all the young lions will say to you, "Have you come to take plunder?" Excuse me. "Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, 'Thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes." Though much of this in general prophesies of the coming destruction dealt to Israel by the Assyrian armies, there are numerous factors that tell us this is much more than that, and it is in the future still, and is going to happen during the 7-year tribulation period that's described by Daniel and Jesus. Now, though some of this in general prophesies of the coming destruction dealt to Israel by the Assyrian armies, there are numerous factors that tell us here in this passage and in others that this is going to happen still in the future during the 7-year tribulation period that Daniel and Jesus described. Suffice it to say is that we know that the majority of these events are to happen in the future because Israel is described as being back in its land, at peace with surrounding enemies, and that God will bring absolute destruction in the end to Israel's worldwide enemies. Oh, okay, all right, so what about Russia then? The lands that are described in their ancient names here in this passage are these nations of today, or these territories of today, as you see in this map, and we'll describe them one by one. For instance, with Gog in the land of Magog, according to the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, Magog was where the vicious people called Scythians were north of the Black Sea, stretching to the Caspian Sea and over to India. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 3, it says, "The prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal." Rosh is the ancient name of Russia, which was also once called Rus. Meshech is found in Assyrian and Greek histories as Musku, Muski, and Mushki, or today's Moscow. Tubal is today's Tobolsk in Siberia. Put and Kush are the area of Libya today. Dedan and Sheba are northern African Muslim nations of today, such as Saudi Arabia and such. Persia is today's Iran and Iraq, and Ethiopia and Libya are generally the same today as in Ezekiel's day. Egypt is also mentioned, by the way, in Daniel 11:24, and it's the same as today. Tarshish is generally Europe, possibly more of Great Britain or even Spain, or in general the Western nations. Lastly, Tagarma is Armenia, and Gomer and Tubal, also in that region, are also in Turkey or southern Russia. But, may I add here that some have placed Gomer or extended the region of ancient Gomer to include what is today's Ukraine. You heard it right. The Antichrist will have made a peace agreement of the world with Israel. Israel will relax its defenses. All of this is listed for us and described for us in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Then in the same verse, Daniel describes what Jesus also referred to in Daniel as the abomination of desolation. Now, the peace agreement Daniel and Jesus speak of will be broken in the middle of the 7-year tribulation period by the Antichrist, who will desecrate the center and system of worship in Jerusalem in Israel. This then kicks off the wave of continuous battles and wars of various world alliances coming down against Israel, culminating in the final battle of Armageddon. And Russia, Gog or Rosh, is the huge major player in this, as described here, especially in Ezekiel 38, which will come down militarily from the north on Israel along with other nations like it or a part of it or absorbed into it. Now, here's the kicker. Even Russia's president, Vladimir Putin, knows about this. And not in this recent speech, but in an article written by him previously that most don't know about, he goes further back in history and justifies his aggression toward Ukraine based on these biblical names connected to the Ukraine and surrounding areas of today. Now, here is a quote from his article entitled, "The Historical Unity of Russians and Ukrainians," and I quote, "Russians, Ukrainians, and Belarusians are all descendants of ancient Rus, which was the largest state in Europe. Slavic and other tribes across the vast territory, from Ladoga, Novgorod, and Pskov to Kiev and Chernigov, were bound together by one language, which we now refer to as Old Russian, economic ties, the rule of the princes of the Rurik dynasty, and, after the baptism of Rus, the Orthodox faith. The spiritual choice made by Saint Vladimir, who was both Prince of Novgorod and Grand Prince of Kiev, still largely determines our affinity today. The throne of Kiev held a dominant position in ancient Rus. This had been the custom since the late 9th century. The tale of bygone years captured for posterity the words of Oleg the Prophet about Kiev. Let it be the mother of all Russian cities. Later, like other European states of that time, ancient Rus faced a decline of central rule and fragmentation. At the same time, both the nobility and the common people perceived Rus as a common territory, as their homeland," end quote. So, of all people, the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, bent on this war of conquest for Ukraine, even he knows and recognizes the linkage of the ancient land of Rosh we see recorded in Scripture by Ezekiel with what was later called for centuries Rus, and into modern times, Russia. Now fast forward to his speech on February 21st, 2022, where he unilaterally recognizes two breakaway pro-Russian regions of Ukraine, and he says this, quote, "Returning to history, I repeat that the USSR was founded in 1922 on the territory of the former Russian Empire. In reality, the Union Republics had no rights of sovereignty at all. These rights simply did not exist. In practice, a strictly centralized, completely unitary state was created. It is also important to understand that Ukraine has basically never had a stable tradition of genuine statehood," end quote. So to answer our original questions, is Russia's invasion of Ukraine fit in Bible prophecy? If not, then what place does Russia have in world prophecy? Well, the Ukraine does indeed have ancient connections to Russia, but not in Putin's way of thinking. Not really. In biblical and prophetic thinking, Ukraine one day in the future will evidently have a part in the world's nations coming against Israel by hook or by crook because of Russia. Now, does this mean that the present conflict will pull Ukraine partially or fully back into the evil empire of Russia so that it is involved in the future conflict against Israel as part of Russia? We can't be for certain, and only time will tell, but it appears likely this conflict is a stepping stone to that very possible scenario. So does Russia have a part in and of itself, regardless of who is a part of it, in future prophecy? Absolutely. Clear as a bell in the Scriptures. Ezekiel describes the nations of the north, Russia, as its obvious leader. They will swing down south with fury to attack Israel and be in battle with other nations as well, and ultimately against God. But God will end that final battle before it even begins, with his mighty wrath and judgment, and decimate all his enemies, Russia entirely included, and we will be with him when it happens at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. You see, no matter what, my friend, especially believing brother or sister in Christ watching or listening to this podcast, two things remain even more clear for us to remember always and embrace. Jesus will come again. He will come first to take us home with him before the 7-year tribulation period begins, and we will return with him to end the 7 years with Christ, crushing his enemies and establishing his 1,000-year millennial kingdom on earth, with his throne literally in Jerusalem for the world to behold and be under his authority and justice. Jesus wins, and he's victorious, and we are with him forever in it all. To this, I can hear my good friend and podcaster, fellow podcaster and prophecy teacher, Pastor Duke Hergat, saying this, screaming amen. And you can listen to his podcast, Pastor Duke, and with John Westfall in According to John every week. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, then in light of all of this, will you turn to him now and give your heart to him and tell him so? Lord, I am a sinner. I fall down before you, and you are the only answer. You alone died for me and rose again from the dead so I could be forgiven of all my sin and have eternal life. And I want to be with you. Here am I. Take me and use me. My life is yours. Well, we're going to end it here, and I hope this has helped clear some things up for you. Let us pray for the Ukrainian people. Let us pray for the peace of Jerusalem and tell others about Jesus who died and rose again to save them as he did for you. The time is getting short, my friend, and the day of the Lord comes soon. Well, again, thank you so much for watching and listening. Would you click on like, subscribe, share this podcast now, and even comment and reply. And remember to follow Jesus. Follow him alone, and you'll always follow the truth.